Good morning to most, good afternoon to others, and good evening to the viewing audience across the pond. I'm your host, Pascal Robert, here for another episode of This is Revolution Podcast. If you're new to the channel, thank you so much for joining us on this lovely Saturday afternoon. If you're a returning subscriber, welcome back. I'm so glad to have you all here with us. All of us here at TIR would like to send you a big thank you to all the subscribers on all platforms and patrons. Without you, we wouldn't be able to do this. For all that do not know, this is a Saturday free show. There is no bonus champagne room. It's our way of allowing you guys to get a glimpse of what goes on behind the velvet rope of the TIR VIP. We had another great week of shows kicking off with the call-in episode where Jason discussed the case of a father who claimed that the state of California had kidnapped his child because he didn't agree that his child, 6 years old, could change their gender. Jason went in deeper than the attention-grabbing headline to explain what was already going on and took your calls. It was a three-hour free show, so when you're done, you can check it out at the link below. The Red Zone returned, and the guys talked about the NFL Combine and then more. Then on Tuesday, Jason spoke with Pakistani scholar Ayaz Malik about the recent elections in Pakistan, U.S. involvement in the ouster of former Prime Minister Imran Khan. And again, when you're done here, make sure you go back and check those out. We're going to bring in my co-host, crew member, the one and the only, Mademoiselle Entresault.
Hello, hello. There's no applause. It's so weird to be here with that. Thank you. Thank you. Good to see you.
Good to see you as well. We're here holding on the fort, discussing the blacks and whether or not they're going to be loyal to the Democratic Party this election season. So, if it's affectionately known as the Party of Lincoln, so should it be a no-brainer that black people would embrace the GOP, right? Seriously, has the Democratic Party political failures caused a shift and black voters to disregard the more racist elements of the GOP in favor of their tough on crime and fiscally conservative reputation? As we've said many times in the show, the Republicans are winning the messaging war when it comes to the idea that Democrats are soft on immigration and crime. Chicago is a perfect example. When the city was hit by bus loads of migrants, its black residents and leaders resented the city response to the care of the caravan, almost making it out as a racial warfare for resources. In July of last year, the Oakland NAACP wanted the city of Oakland to declare a state of emergency over the rise of in property crime and demanded the city hire 500 more cops. In 2020, people took to the streets to protest the brutal murder of George Floyd and others. Televised killings were replayed millions of times to watch while many were sequestered in our homes. We watched, we see collectively, seeing nothing more. Now the image that plays out loose is that of lawless cities where the thieves run amok. Public drug use and homelessness encampments, not only black, but interrupt public thoroughfares. Come 2024, can we possibly see a return of Donald Trump in office? Let's talk about that intro. Do you think that that's a real effective dissection of what the media thoroughfare is painting the issue as out there right now?
It's interesting because it's mostly on the local level in that intro. And it's fairly easy for voters to turn right wing on the local level when it comes to things like crime or migrants, but as in New York City, you can vote for a Republican mayor and have a Democrat governor and a Democrat president that you all voted for.
So do you think that what the local political machines are in those specific respective cities or locations will have a longer, much more strategic turnout in terms of what happens? For example, should we really expect that the state of California, that's been staunchly blue for years, is going to turn Republican to support Donald Trump because people are so worried about crime and immigration policy? I don't see that as a reality.
I don't see that as a reality on the national level. On the national level, the stats don't really change. You just have your few battleground states where people have any interest in what's going on. On the local level, yeah, people could start voting for Republicans for sure.
Right, and that could, I mean, I can give you an example of a state where that makes a difference. It's a state like Florida, where you have small segments of Black voters peeling away and voting for either not voting or voting for Republicans. That takes a large state like Florida and makes it a giveaway for Donald Trump.
Are we making a distinction between voting for Republicans and registering as Republicans?
That's a very, very, very good question, because one of the phenomenons that I think that we're seeing in some of these polling is that some of these people are voting for Trump, but they're not changing to the Republican Party.
Right, right.
You know, that was a thing that we had in Florida. There were people who voted for Trump as Democrats. Sheerly out of their fundamental frustration with the Democratic Party.
Isn't the Democratic Party infuriating?
Sometimes I wonder if they really are setting themselves up for early demises, or are they that incompetent?
It's true, and it's hard to know, which is really not a good place to be in.
I think the problem the Democratic Party has always suffered from is that they basically represent the same base as the Republicans, which is finance, capital, mm-hmm. military industrial complex, and corporate banking sectors. And they have to act as if they're in control, they're interested in the concerns of the working class.
That's true.
So that schizophrenia is what causes them to suffer the kinds of political flops and foibles that they've been doing throughout years.
I think that's very true. We do need a Labor Party in this country. The Democratic Party is not it.
No, that's definitely not the case. I mean, they capitulate to the corporate sector. That's very, very normal intervals. Disadvantaging our working class voters significantly. So let's move on to our questions. So far in the recent midterm election, the liberal city of San Francisco has made a shift to the right with voters passing two very conservative crime bills. One measure, Prop E, blocks the police commission from quickly passing new policies, relaxes rules on officers chasing suspects in vehicles, and opens the door to police using drones. Measure F requires single adults with no children to undergo drug treatment if they are suspected of using drugs. Has the GOP won the messaging war? Now, again, that is a local issue that's local specific. But again, we have been seeing enough reporting on the crime situation in San Francisco, in New York as well. I mean, you live in New York. Mm-hmm. Let's not act like there's not an over amount of concern about crime in New York that's been going on since COVID also.
Right. Right. There used to be roving bands of children robbing places like Sephora and Saks and all these very high scale, upscale boutiques since COVID.
Really?
Actually, before COVID. But yeah.
Post George Floyd.
Post George Floyd. Yeah.
Wow. What was the reaction to that?
Well, obviously they used the kids because the kids aren't going to get into serious trouble. But the reaction was kind of exaggerated. Kind of exaggerated. They clamped down.
Well, in cities like we have in San Francisco, we've seen massive exaggerations, not exaggerations, but increases in drug crime, homelessness.
Right.
We have petty thefts, larcenies, smash and grabs, the cars.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to question, that there's a legitimacy to the concerns of those states, are we?
No, we're not going to question that. Those are legit concerns.
But you think that the way in which crime is being framed in these California cities is being done in a way that's disingenuous?
I think so. I saw a video with one woman who said that we're already on the left. We're just asking to move a little bit to the right.
Wow.
Yeah, I thought that was disturbing. So we're just asking to move just a scooch, just a little bit to the right. And maybe that's how a lot of people see this. Or they see it as asking for what is basic. I saw another guy in a video saying they just want what's basic. They want what the officials and mayors and everyone is saying, but they want them to mean it.
Do you think that this definitely means that the languaging on crime has been won by the GOP?
I think so. It's almost invisibilized by the people. They don't see it as themselves really moving rightwards.
Is there any way to address the issue of crime from a left progressive perspective without surrendering to some of these more ridiculous kind of, defund concepts mm-hmm. that come out of academia that do not have any real world salience?
I would think the left approaches would be more holistic, which would require money, which could be a real problem in terms of the budgets. But, defund has showed us you can move money around in a budget. That doesn't have to be taboo. But I would think a leftward response would be more holistic, more getting to the root of the problems. What do you think?
I mean, I would assume that the left would have the capacity to address the issue of crime in a way that confronts political economy and the actual social realities that creates crime, poverty, and things of that nature, as opposed to just demonizing poor people as being the treaties of the streets that just need to be purged.
I agree. Chat, do you have any opinions? Dusty says New York and LA are relatively safe compared to the heartland. I thought crimes were going up in rural areas.
There were crimes going up in rural areas.
Yeah, and the crime in the city was a little overblown because it's going up in rural areas. Questions?
I actually have a follow-up question.
Okay.
It's been exactly 30 years since the omnibus crime bill that then-Senator Joe Biden authored. In the 90s, that bill had much black support, as we've discussed with San Francisco and their black mayor. A tougher-on-crime appearance is needed to save off GOP incumbents. Will Biden administration once again attempt to pass through a tough-on-crime federal legislation? Ooh, that's a. I think that will be a death knell for the Biden administration in terms of black voters. I don't see how he has the time to put forth a crime bill on the federal level, but I would not be surprised if he creates a national momentum for police support. Funding police, increase police funding on a national level. I mean, he's stated that, you know,
right.
Police.
Right. Now that makes sense. And it makes sense that he doesn't have time to do a big signature crime bill. And it does make sense that that would cost him with black voters. Because he did it before. And we still got people locked up on it.
Right.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And pivoting towards funding the police is that makes sense as well. That's a good pivot for them.
No, there's no question about it, because if there's anything that we know is that the corporate Democrats hate the defund the police rhetoric. They really don't like it at all. They blame it for election losses. They blame it for all kinds of things. Not that it's a silver bullet by any stretch of the imagination. I think that language is beyond problematic for a variety of reasons as well. But they like to use that language as an argument to demonstrate why they lose, because they blame it for their losses. When I don't even think that defund the police has even been effectively tried as a political strategy.
No, it hasn't. No, it hasn't. It's been political dynamite.
You know, so it's interesting to see how this goes down. But fascinating that we remember the 30th anniversary of that omnibus crime bill. That was one of the most horrendous legislations that came out of the Democratic Party in terms of dealing with poor and working class black people.
Mm-hmm.
And if they, God forbid them, replicate that harm again on their greatest, most loyal constituency. The imagery of kids in cages in the early days of Trump immigration policy was the call for people to act. But the migrant caravans are once again forcing people, women, and children to live in temporary squalor. The response from the black community isn't compassion, but disdain. Why? Woo! This is a live one. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this one. I have my opinions, but I'm going to stop.
Well, I wish that they had a different response. I wish they did, because these migrants have nothing. It's not like, I understand it's like $51 million that's being allocated to them. And that's not that much money. And it's not like they're going to get to put it in their pocket and spend it however they want. It's going to go to contracts. It's going to go to the same people who were already getting money from the city. It's not going in their pockets. Really, they should have a bit more vision. I wish they did.
Well, what's really fascinating to me about this whole discourse is that it comes to me at a time where I think that a lot of the domestic online rhetoric towards immigration has had an effect in certain spaces like Chicago and in the Midwest in driving this notion that the immigrants have gotten everything, particularly from the Democratic Party, and you know, domestic black American folk have gotten nothing.
Right.
And that we are not going to support spending another dime supporting these immigrants. And it's a very kind of Manichaean, kind of balkanized, you know, as someone said, the use of the terminology, the illegals. You know, and it sets up this paradigm where it's a kind of Lord of the Flies model for municipal kind of funding. And what's scary is that it appeals to a lot of working class people in these cities. You know?
Yeah. And
what is also scary is that there are personalities and movements that we have in online spaces that will tap into this. The illegals or whatever terminology they use to refer to people who are a direct consequence of American policy in terms of what has brought them here in the first place.
Right. Part of it is Americans are not good on foreign policy. Americans are not really aware of America's activities out in the world. They might have an idea of America bad, but they don't know the exact kind of atrocities that have led to migrant crisis all over the world.
So you think, once again, this is another example of American myopia in terms of its inability to understand what's going on globally, turning into a place where it's just going to turn to an easy kind of, well, blame the immigrants. We don't want them here anyway. They're taking our resources, and we're not giving them a dime, kind of thinking.
A little bit, yeah. I'm very reluctant to, I don't know, sort of chastise those people for their choice, even though I think it is the wrong choice to blame the migrants. In the sense, I'm not sure I feel it's my place as a Haitian American. Maybe that's sort of why I'm holding back, but
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead. That's it.
I think that is at a fundamental point we're dealing with humanity here. So
right.
That those type of labels in terms of identifying what people who are crossing the borders, escaping all kinds of persecution, and just, you know, whether or not we lend them a helping hand, doesn't deny you from the right to have an opinion just because you happen to be a child of immigrants yourself and while you're a citizen now.
Well, thank you for that.
I'm just saying, man. You know what I'm saying?
No, it makes sense.
Represent.
No, I understand.
Represent.
I understand.
Oh, my kids in cages, man. All right, moving on to an interesting subject matter. Does North Carolina's Black GOP gubernatorial candidate have a shot? And if so, what does that mean about the current state of the Black politics? Have you guys seen this character, Mark Robinson?
Mark Robinson, vaguely familiar.
Oh, my God. He apparently is a 9/11 denying conspiracy theories about, you know, the roles of members of the Jewish community in American media.
Wow.
Definitely a questionable character.
Oh my gosh.
He is Trumpian, to say the least. And the fact that he's being floated and he's doing well in North Carolina means that there is a new kind of candidate that Trump can manufacture that can come out of this MAGA atmosphere that can sell. I don't think we've ever seen an example of them before, mm-hmm. in terms of black politics. We've seen a couple of them being female, Lauren Boebert.
Right. Marjorie Taylor Greene,
exactly. But now with Mark Robertson, definitely comes see. Well, someone said, what rock did Robertson crawl him from under? A very well-financed MAGA rock.
Very well-financed.
Very well-financed MAGA rock. So what is exactly does this mean to some, in terms of what's up with the political question of the moment? Are we up in the air with the Democratic Party in terms of their ability to keep control of the reins of their constituents?
Well, it certainly seems like the Democratic Party hasn't been making any moves to keep black people. Besides the symbols of like Kamala Harris, which to a lot of people it doesn't translate. But I mean, it seems like the GOP is doing work to get black voters, where the Democratic Party is not.
So even in this kind of like bizarre world of politics, where the Democratic Party has been the base of where the loyalty of black voter is, you get all your hard work of support gets you symbolism and you know, parties with rappers on the White House lawn, mm-hmm. as opposed to policy and this symbolic rhetoric about what do you think about the way in which the discourse around reparations is being used for black candidates in the Democratic Party? Do you think it's just kind of like a straw man, or is it simply being hauled out to leverage support when necessary, but denied when it's being come down policy?
I think anybody who would say no vote, no reparations, no vote, probably wasn't going to vote anyway.
Right.
So I don't know how big a loss that is.
Well, let me ask you a question. One of the things that I think that I've come to a conclusion is that there are different classes of black political actors that we're seeing who are representing quote unquote black voters. So when I say, when I hear them discuss the black vote, which black voters are they talking about? Because I see the black professional managerial class, traditional dedicated, you know, fraternity, sorority members, the mainstay of the actual shock troops of the black political class. Mm-hmm. They are dedicated and loyal members of the Democratic Party. They love their Kamala Harris, and they will stay online. They will stay on board. Then I see the younger class of more online black working class, more recently out of college kids who are less established, mm-hmm. who have bought more into the ADOS rhetoric, who have bought more into some of it into the HOTEP rhetoric as well, very much more into the anti-immigrant stuff. They are not as loyal to the Democratic Party. And I think that what's actually happening is that in online spaces, they're creating a much more rhetorical flourish for their arguments than that traditional kind of normal member of the black political class. Strong McCallum has a question. You want to get that super chat?
Yeah, let's get that.
What's dangerous about MAGA on this front? It's civic nationalist post-racialism. It's civic nationalist solidaristic stand for the proletariat solidarity. It's powerful smokescreen, just like Radlib ID poll. Is I was having a conversation with a friend of mine yesterday, and he asked, he challenged me on this. He said, I don't think that MAGA is a populist movement. He thinks that it's purely fascist. Yeah. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't think it's purely fascist. I think it's partially fascist. It definitely has a lot of the hallmarks of it, but I don't see it as being full-on fascist. I don't see it as being that dangerous.
You don't think MAGA represents the actual a potentiality of a dangerous type of fascism in America? It's already gotten that point. You don't think so?
I think it's the potentiality. I don't think it's the actual thing. Not yet.
Look at just based on the stuff that we're talking about today, immigration policy, the fact that in public schools, discussions about book banning, about fighting to be able to teach Black history in public schools during Black History Month, all types of removals of DEI initiatives that some people might challenge, whether it be affirmative action or otherwise. I mean, there's been significant changes that have come about in the political atmosphere as a consequence of the rise of the Trumpism. I don't think it's just been rhetorical.
I don't know. I'm still inclined to say fascistic, but not fascist. Outright. Definitely has the hallmarks.
Do you think it still has a populist element to it?
Yes.
Well, populist in one sense, what is it really to challenge? Is it challenging capitalism? Is it challenging business? Or is it challenging like the elites, the quote unquote elites, the deep state, if you will?
Yeah, I do see it as a challenge to the deep state and to certain aspects of the status quo in the Democratic Party.
Well, so your belief in this fascistic, say someone, Paul Street, I'm familiar with Paul Street's work. He calls them Afrikaners. He thinks that they're straight up fascist.
I can understand that. I'm not sure what my reluctance is. I just don't take them seriously enough.
You think that's because you live in the liberal bastion of New York City?
It's very possible. We don't have Proud Boys prowling the streets here.
You mean Cuban Proud Boys?
We don't have them here. Let's see. Sean McCallum has another comment. MAGA is integralist American civic nationalism.
I'd like to hear Strom elaborate on that. An integralist American civic nationalism.
Interesting. Somebody's calling me a lib in the chat.
Wow. Do you take that as an insult?
I do, but I understand that I only speak so much and people don't know me that well, I think.
People take you as a lib. So what do you think about my formation about the different classes of Black politics and political actors that we have out there?
What did you say again about the younger ones?
The more online one is more rooted in the kind of ADOS, FBA discourse, more rooted in being motivated by reparations. Also anti-immigrant.
That's definitely a strain. These FBA ADOS folks. And who knows where their votes are going to go? Because no reparations, no vote. Where does that leave you?
There you go. There you go. Let's see if we have any further questions, which we do. On the national level, is this about disaffection with the Democratic Party or an affinity for Trump Republicans? Does it matter? I think it definitely matters because one represents a problem that you can fix and the other one represents something you can't control over. I think it demonstrates a disaffinity. I don't think it demonstrates that Trump and the Republicans are offering anything. I think that the goodwill that the Democratic Party once had is so spent because of the way it pivoted to neoliberalism with the rise of the Clinton third wave politics going on to Obama was so bad that people actually paint some of the worst aspects of neoliberalism on the Democrats.
I think that's true. I think it's made people feel like they have no recourse. They have nowhere to run to. Nowhere to hide.
Nowhere to run to. Nowhere to hide.
Are you coming out with a country album too?
Hopefully it'll be better than Beyonce. You think I can do better than Beyonce? Pascal does country. Do it in the country.
The country. Okay. I do have a video.
You got a video?
I got a video.
You want to show?
From friend to the show, to Ray. Wrong friend to the show. All right. Let's bring this up. Do you want to do the super chat first?
Yes, from Ken Kenose. Pascal, do you find ADOS any different than what I remember of the 5% of the 80s? Is it more or less the same thing? I definitely think it's much different than the 5%. I think ADOS is based on nationalistic black parent politics that's rooted in and starts in an anti-immigrant posturing that uses a claim for reparations to further that politics.
5%ers are a religious movement.
They're religious nationalists.
Religious nationalists. So it's a different movement.
We got another. A deck.
You have another super chat?
Yep.
Here we go.
We're going to be having a show on Haiti. We're going to do a mama this year, this month on Haiti, by the way. I talked to Paul McComb.
Okay.
So we're going to be doing a show on what's going on with Haiti at the end of this month.
Sounds good.
Super chat. A whole bunch of Trump supporters are screaming against what has been said and what's happening there. The Dems give them the symbols, Pascal. Why shouldn't we see Dems as neoliberals? I think we should see Dems as neoliberals, but aren't Republicans neoliberals also?
Indeed. Nowhere to run to. Nowhere to hide.
I think the problem is that a lot of people are only seeing Dems as neoliberals.
True.
They don't see both parties that way.
Which makes the Republicans look better.
Absolutely.
It's a good question.
You want to get queued up for the video?
Queued up for the video. Let's bring it up. And he brings up some interesting points here. And let's see if we can catch them too. To talk about them.
Why are so many rappers supporting Trump? Not just this one. It's also Benny the Butcher, Sexy Red, Waka Flocka, Kodak Black. And the Uncle Tom is going on. I think there's three main reasons why some rappers are falling for Trump. One reason is the perception of strength. This is a caricature how Trumpers see him as some hyper-strong, hyper-masculine figure. And I can see where some rappers would say, aligning with him makes me feel strong and seem strong. Kanye said, when he put on the MAGA hat, it made him feel like Superman. That's gross. Reason number two, contrarianism. Some people love to be the person who everyone else arguing against. You love to be the one saying everyone else is wrong. And in an attention economy, being the contrarian gets you a lot of attention. I put a barbershop because you know the black barbershop is a place where people go to argue and talk and commune. And if you're a contrarian in that space, everyone is arguing against you and it can be really exciting. There's also a lot of misinformation that goes into supporting Trump. A lot of Trumpers, when they're asked why they like Trump, they say things that aren't true. Alternative facts. For example, Sexy Red said she loves Trump because of the stimulus checks. I think a lot of people who are close to this story would give more credit to this woman. But the whole question about why are rappers supporting Trump is really meant to lead to the question of why are so many black men supporting Trump? The percentage of black men supporting Trump nowadays is a little bit larger than we've had for Republicans in the past, but it's far from some election changing number.
There is no large enough constituency of black men supporting Donald Trump that could win this election either way.
But in the question of rappers and Trump, we also have to look for this. Modern hip-hop does not really have, for the most part, the political spine that those of us who loved 80s and 90s hip-hop had. In the era of Public Enemy and Tupac and KRS-One and Poor Righteous Teachers and X-Clan, we had a music that was so politically conscious, it felt like some of these rappers were activists. I don't say this to criticize the modern generation, and I know some rappers now are political, but the assumption that hip-hop will be progressive and political as we saw so often in the 80s and 90s, that world doesn't exist really. So I'm not surprised some rappers are saying, hey, let me get some attention. I kind of like this guy Trump. But I'm sure if you polled rappers, you would find that just like most men, most of them support Democrats if they vote. Tell me in the comments why you think we're seeing some rappers support Trump.
Oh, God, I find that guy so noxious.
He's made a good living out of being obnoxious.
I'm not. Oh, Tory Neblett.
So his first entry was hypermasculinity, seeing Trump as a hero. There's definitely a fascist impulse with a lot of rappers and with a lot of men. Women too, though. Women overwhelmingly voted for Trump, so.
You mean the majority population?
of the majority population, yes. Yes. So definitely somebody like Kanye embodies the second entry, contrarianism, wanting to be different. So if all Black people are voting for Democrats, I want to be the one who votes for a Republican. And his third point was that there was misinformation. People think that Trump gave stimulus checks. They don't realize that was like an act of Congress. And those are IRS checks. What have you.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think there's degrees to all of that as well. But at certain points, there are also the fact that, you know, there's a perception that the Democratic Party is very weak in addressing the needs of urban communities, which disproportionately are Black and brown. And also, I think that Trump made efforts to appeal to that in the light of the fact that you had a Biden-Clinton administration, which was administrations that were campaigning in the light of them supporting one of the worst horrific crime bills that had affected Black America, perhaps, you know, in the whole post-civil rights era. And, you know, a lot of people were, particularly, you gotta remember the politics at that time. There was a serious anti-carceral, anti-mass incarceration politics that was very popular at that time. A lot of people were very turned off by the Democratic Party's support of that horrible, horrible, horrible mass incarceration breakdown. There's a lot of that new Jim Crow discourse.
How much do you think the genocide in Palestine is going to affect this election? How much do you think it's affecting Black people in terms of solidarity, I guess, to be turned off to the Democratic Party?
I think that for a certain constituency of Black voters who are loyal to the Democratic Party, who represent the Black PMC, they're going to vote for the Democratic Party regardless. I think the younger activist set who are more affiliated with the kind of Black Lives Matter or were with that type of constituency, they are going to be turned off, particularly because I think that the notion that there's this one easily dispatched Black vote is going to become more and more complicated by facts on the ground and by the actual politics as they play out.
It has to happen.
Yeah.
It has to happen because they're peeling off voters. The GOP is peeling off Democratic voters.
You know, so I think that I think I had a couple more questions left.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's a question. Are rappers leading this push to the Republican Party, or are they following the people? I think some are leading, and I think some are following.
It's a good answer.
Is too much being made of this? Aren't Black men the most progressive voters behind the Black women? Or Dear Brother FT Signifier just put out a video about this. And yes, it does take much to destabilize. It does take much to destabilize the Democratic lead in the key battleground states. I do think there's too much being made about Black people voting Republican at all, because the percentages of Blacks who vote Republican are so tiny in the overall majority that even if you had a small percentage, it would only represent perhaps their economic interests. The next question was asked is, how much is the Manosphere responsible for this? That's a good question. What do you think of the role of the Manosphere is responsible for male Trump supporters in general, or Black male Trump supporters? you were talking about how the role of this kind of hyper masculinity or masculine energy.
I think that Black women are seen as the backbone of the Democratic Party. They're seen as voting Democrat and saving the country. And they go to church. So I think that there's a certain type of Black man who sees that and says, voting for the Democratic Party is feminine. And if they reject the church also, then they're rejecting that as well. And they'd like to be in a more masculine party.
You believe that?
I do believe that.
You're going to need a little bit more data analysis to get me.
I do believe that. I do believe the Democratic Party is seen as feminine.
Well, the Democratic Party disproportionately houses more women.
It does. And in the Black community, it houses Black women for sure.
And it promotes the Black women disproportionately for sure.
It does. So I do think it's the country. And that's a turnoff for some male voters.
So the sheer fact that the Democratic Party would promote Black women, so by de facto, it's going to cause Black men to say, oh, I can't be down with this.
Some.
I can't.
You don't see it.
I don't see the logic in it.
I didn't say there was logic in it. I do think it's a perception out there. You cycle through a series of facial expressions that are just hilarious right now.
I mean, I think that the general kind of discourse you get is that, you know, Black people, we all in this together. We vote as a one, as a unified force. I just haven't seen. I mean, I think that there is certain aspects of in the Black manosphere, mm-hmm. they have very regressive attitudes towards women and talk about how, like, you know, and this is what Jason Whitlock talks about. I was like, oh, a Black woman running the spaces. There's discourse like that.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't necessarily think that that perception is the norm amongst all Black men. Democratic Party doesn't give a damn about Black men. Nothing to do with them supporting Black women. They don't support us. I don't think this. I don't disagree with that. How are you going to say a party that has spent two of its most important administration candidates supporting legislation that mass incarcerated tens of thousands of Black men supports them? I think the neoliberal turn to the Democratic Party that happened in the 90s with the Clintons was some of the worst things that happened to Black and brown people in this country. And I don't deny that at all. He's basically challenging your notion that it's because they support the Democratic Party supports Black women that that's why Black men are turned off. He's saying that Black men are turned off because the Democratic Party does not support them or have an agenda for them. What are your thoughts, Tucson?
I have a quote from a rapper about Trump. But I think that's true. The Democratic Party does not support Black men. It's sort of built on sending Black men to prison and that sort of thing. Their crime bills and all. If I were a Black man, I would not feel supported by the Democratic Party. So this is from Bandman Cavo. I mean, I feel like Democrats is more like people who need help we give you this and you can get more food stamps or more of this and that, you know? To be honest, Trump got me out of jail like 6 months early.
Well, does that mean that Trump gave you help?
Trump gave him help, yeah. That is true. That is true. Trump gave him the kind of help he really needed, I guess. But that's something that I did notice with a lot of these rappers. Trump personally helped them by pardoning them. And so they became evangelists. People believe that Trump is good on prison reform.
If you have any more Super Chat questions, please load them up and let us know.
That's right. We're here to take your Super Chat questions. You think I might have a point? I definitely have a point. Thank you, John.
Trump is a smart politician that he gets credit for.
He's an opportunist. He has an opportunist intelligence. I don't know if I'd call that smart.
Trump, someone said Trump double black unemployment. Why would you say, now, I understand that Trump caused the unemployment to go down, doubling black unemployment. I think he's a bit of an overreach. But as we were saying, so I'm intrigued by this notion that the participation of black women in the Democratic Party and the way the Democratic Party benefits them is causing black men to be turned off by equally participating, which is a position that M. Toussaint pushed earlier. I don't necessarily think that that's the case.
Yeah.
Super chat, hey, just getting here. Put that on, okay.
There you go.
This conversation reminded me of me and Dylan Gondrini said that Black Agenda interview about making black people the target of Stop Asian Hate.
What?
I don't understand the question.
I don't know. Maybe it's more of a comment.
So that I lost.
I had no idea Dylan Rodriguez had anything to do with Black Agenda Report.
Project 2025. Now, Project 2025 is a very, very disturbing document coming out of the Heritage Foundation. It's being supported by MAGA supporters in that foundation, that right-wing think tank. And it proposes very, very conservative, hardcore, right-wing agenda for the Republican Party if Trump gets into power. Strange changes. Strange changes to the functioning of the deep state. Question. It's a questionable set of agenda. Trump is a shameless opportunist, just like Clinton and Obama. They all talk, and then run further to the neoliberal class war or economic agenda while we're all pursuing a psychotic foreign policy. I agree with that.
Jason says it's more of a comment, and black people used to be the target of the right.
To stop Asian hate. Oh, that's right. Okay. That's correct. That's correct. I remember that little brief window in time.
Those are crazy times.
Project 20, what are people, are you familiar with Project 2025?
I'm not.
Project 2025 is this really weird, like set of legislations being proposed by Heritage that is, some say, is basically just taking America down the road of fascism, down the road of dictatorship. But it's about, like, literally, like, amending the function of the FBI or the deep state in a way that would be further friendly to Trump and Trump and his agenda. Firing 70% of the federal employees. I mean, it's crazy.
Wow.
Have you?
I got to look into that.
Yeah. Jason is spending some time with his family. So again, overall, I think that the concerns in terms of black voters abandoning the Democratic Party are somewhat displaced. And we hear this all the time when we have Trump's election coming to play. But at the same time, what has the Democratic Party done to actually keep black Democrats in play and loyal to them?
That's the real question.
This idea to have the civic infrastructure in place on day one to command a reshape and do away with what Republicans deride as the deep state in bureaucracy. Yep, that's very much correct. Very much correct. Creates an administration devoted to the leadership rather than the Constitution. That seems to be one of the consequences of this particular document. And insofar as they do real work outside of the elections, that's within the Dem-aligned civil society groups.
I agree, Janios. This is the beginning of that statement here.
How come all the people say the real politics activism happens outside the electoralism to vote Dem seems to spend the entire interim continuing to play defense on the behalf of Dems? That's a good question. That's a very, very good question.
Dems are the lesser evil. They are the path of less harm.
Are you being facetious, or you making that, you turning that into a commercial?
No, I think that's to answer his question. That's why these people tend to play defense for the Dems.
Well, the question also becomes, what options do we really have in this kind of like duopoly type of paradigm that we have in this country?
Exactly.
Well, we're stuck between these two parties. We need a third party selects candidates based on sortition. No more politicians in office. So what is sortition? Using their own data to generate, if it's true, against them for yourself.
What are you talking about? They gave us Hakeem Jeffries.
Oh my God. Is someone just said that?
Yeah. Yeah, I know he's your favorite person.
Not mine.
If you have any more super chats, we're happy to read them.
We are already over an hour.
We are. Here's a comment.
I'm sympathetic if they vote defensively in the purple area. If they can make some difference there on a regional level. Hakeem, Biggie quotes. Both parties are evil.
Both parties are evil.
Well, I think we can round it up, wind it up. You done to wind it up, Toussaint?
Sure. All right.
Thank you for joining our elections roundup. We'll be doing probably a few more of these before the November election on all black people turning to the Republican Party. Please join us again this week on This Is a Revolution podcast, starting Tuesday for our weekly programming. And on that note, we are
out. Don't forget to hit like.